Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I saved this one for quite some time because I didn't want it to be obvious who I am referring to, but at least a few months ago, I read a story in the sports section where a pro athlete was being asked about potentially playing the final season of his career. It was clear that there was and would continue to be a lot of speculation about that topic. Sadly, this individual made it all about himself by saying that when he did decide to hang it up, everybody would know and there would be a big press conference about it. That, of course, is the exact opposite of two very recent examples, both from the NFL, in just retired quarterbacks Philip Rivers and Drew Brees, both of whom quickly and quietly transitioned into their post-career playing days. When we put all the attention on ourselves and make whatever we're doing the main focus of what we talk about and what we think others should be talking about, we're not putting God first. We can't be selfish and want the spotlight because that will not lead to good results. In the Bible, we read in James chapter 3, verse 16, quote, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice," end quote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as my spiritual director used to say, it's not about us, it's about Him. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the CEO and Executive Director of Arizona Sports Foundation, Valley of the Sun Bowl Foundation, and Fiesta Events, Inc., community-based organizations that operate the Fiesta Bowl, Guaranteed Rate Bowl, and numerous charitable and community events throughout the state. Prior to heading the Fiesta Bowl, he spent 8 years with the National Hockey League's Phoenix Coyotes and Jobbing.com Arena, most recently as president and chief operating officer. Before joining the Phoenix Coyotes in January 2006, he spent 4 seasons with the NHL's Minnesota Wild. He has also been both a football coach and a basketball referee. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Neely.
Well, great to be with you, Bruce, and the listeners.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to have you here. And as I just mentioned, you are based in Arizona, but that's not where you're from originally. Share with us where you were born and what your family size was.
Yeah, I've not shaken the accent. I am originally from Minnesota, so born and raised in Minnesota, a small town in southern Minnesota, actually, Blooming Prairie, for my earlier years. And my father moved there as a very young doctor, and I have an older brother that's a year older than me and a sister that's 3 years younger than me. And that was a family back then.
Well, unfortunately, there was some adversity for you early on, specifically your parents divorcing when you were in just sixth grade. Talk about that time period.
Yeah, that certainly was a tough period. I was in a small town, and I think I could probably link that to was not conducive for the marriage. And I think the attempt was to get to, and we moved to another town. I think the intent of resolving some marital issues. You know, and of course, I'm looking back. I was pretty young at the time, but pretty soon after we moved out of Blooming Prairie, my parents did split and were divorced. It was a tough time, as any would be when a split. You know, I was in fifth grade, and by the time the divorce kind of went through, you're talking sixth grade and some formative years. And that, along with, and I'll share, my mother had some other issues as well. She was struggling with some issues of her own. And so, you know, as three kids that were pretty young and a tough time of your life, we kind of fended for ourselves for a little bit.
Mm.
As we moved to Faribault was the name of the city. That was my first opportunity to be able to be part of a Catholic school system. So our parents put us into the Catholic school system, and I think on many fronts that was a positive influence that you could get with the teachings there. It was a tough time of my life. So if I look back at that, you know, it's one of those things that I almost don't look upon it as being, you know, too fondly, because I think so much of my life outside of that school experience was of a negative situation, and that carried probably over into the school system. And you can imagine manifesting itself. I mean, you know, my sister has a handicap, and I would find myself in fist fights defending her and you know, just act up, you know, as a young kid acting up, you know, I'm sure linked to what was going on or maybe what wasn't happening at the home life. But it was probably a darker time. And although, you know, maybe being anchored, you know, into a Catholic system in the school was probably the first time that there was maybe some saving grace there looking out for me.
But I imagine that as you sought an adult to give you maybe what you weren't getting at home, that you were probably finding some good influences somewhere, be it at school, the Catholic school, and or elsewhere.
For sure. You know, I think I look back, you know, my whole life, I think I've been very fortunate to, you know, God maybe puts people in your life for reasons. And back then with, you know, parents being split and my, you know, both of them really not being available for me, there was a close friend of mine that their parents kind of took a look out for me, you know. And so, you know, on the weekends and some of the things that, you know, I was able to have some parental guidance that might not have otherwise been there. So that was probably my first time in my life where someone entered into my life and was, you know, fellow schoolmate that parents cared. And they took a looking after me. So that replayed itself, I think, throughout my life. And it probably still does. I think, you know, God puts people and things into your life for reasons. And that was a good time for to enter into, you know, some help at the time, for sure.
And for those in the audience that are wondering, this is something that Bruce's guest just said that was a difficult point in his life. He doesn't look back fondly. It was way back when he was in sixth grade. Why is Bruce making Mike relive this? It's reality. And a lot of times on this show, you hear me address people in the audience who might be parents that might be listening to this show with their children. So it's important that you hear the experiences of my guests. It's important that you hear the lessons that they learned. It's important that you hear how they dealt with it. And it's important that you use these to affect your own life and to make sure that your marriage is strong, to make sure that your parenting is strong, and to rally around these stories, because we all know that as glamorous as it may look to be in professional sports, in Mike's case, heading up the Fiesta Bowl, whatever it is on a given week of someone that I'm talking to, we're all human beings that, as you heard Steve Javy say, he was just an NBA referee blowing a whistle for a living. And so there is a real life that's going on behind the scenes that people are dealing with things like divorce. People are dealing with things like illness. And so we have to find ways to deal with this and let God be at the center of it and stay rooted in our Catholic faith to help us get through these. And you're hearing that slowly as we're starting to learn about Mike Neely's story. Mike, let's fast forward to your college years and what all that looked like, meaning location as well as where you were faith-wise at that point.
Yeah, sure. There was another move in the making there. So we as a family moved again to the Twin Cities area, the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And so I found myself going to high school there. Ultimately, you know, my family is pretty rooted in the University of Minnesota and my father, grandfather, et cetera. You know, so I found myself at the University of Minnesota undergraduate. Like probably many people, you know, you get into that time of your life and sometimes religion does not form the priority. I can't say that I moved away from church, but you know, was maybe going not as regularly, and you know, you just had other things that you felt were priorities, and that, you know, God didn't always take center stage. So getting through that was interesting, and you know, and as colleges can be, you know, it is difficult times of year, and but that's what forms you as an individual, and the experiences that you're able to glean and learn from things. And throughout that time, I stayed pretty busy. You know, sports always played a major role in my life, and as it does now. So I was fortunate, though, to go to a good school and actually stay in town post-school into my first career.
But I believe University of Minnesota, you got both a bachelor's degree and a master's from the same school.
I did. You know, it was a few years after I had my undergraduate. I worked for a corporation in town, and as part of that, I was going to school at night. I think my MO, you know, maybe back linked to you know, being with divorced parents. I kept myself pretty darn busy.
Mm.
Maybe to help not have to focus on things or whatnot. But my life, I look back, I think I probably overcommitted myself to many things. You know, there was times where, like, even when I was in school, I was you mentioned I was coaching. I mean, I was going to school, I'm coaching, I'm working full time. I pretty much poured it on pretty much all the time, and maybe that kept me from having to deal with things.
Okay, but you brought up a good point in that you said that so many people see that when they go off to college, all of a sudden one of the things that starts to suffer is our faith life, and maybe you don't go as routinely as you had prior to then. What about when you finished college? Did it seem like now things maybe had settled down in terms of a maturity level and a little bit more discipline? Did your faith life turn back for the better post-college?
Yeah, it did. Absolutely, Bruce. And I think the word you mentioned, maturity, I think you get out and you start maybe assessing what's important in life and what brought you happiness and good things in life. And as a young professional out of college, I lived pretty close to downtown with the Basilica of St. Mary, and started attending much more regularly. They had a youth group or young professional group that, you know, made it another reason to get involved with people that were like-minded of Christians. And that was another outlet, and a positive outlet versus other things you could be doing that don't necessarily bring you to God. So that was the start of maybe re-entering more into the church. And then as the years went by and time went by, you know, I was not married till later on in life, but I, as years went on and what I got involved with, I think I grew more and more in faith and gotten more involved and stayed involved as time went on. I think that's a big part of that is a maturity piece. And you can see when your life is going the wrong direction, you end versus or the better directions, you know, when God has been more of a center of your life.
Nice. I usually save this until the end, but since you just started to go that way, it's going to be fitting if I talk about it at this point in the show anyways. Share about your wife, how long the two of you been married, as well as how many kids you have and raising them up.
Yeah, I met my wife. I was 30 years old. We were running marathons. It was a big training group. And so, you know, I chased her for a while, and she'll tell me a different story. But we ended up connecting and getting married a couple of years later and have two wonderful children. So we've been married for 22 years now. And you know, I have a daughter that's turning 20 and a son that just turned 16. There goes my insurance rates. It's wonderful kids. And I was fortunate that my wife, Brenda, grew up Catholic, was centered in her faith. By the way, maybe a side story. I told you I chased her a little bit. There was a time where she wasn't maybe fully interested in dating me for reasons. And I'm not sure if this was a sin or not, but I asked her to church because I knew she couldn't say no, to not go to church. So that's our inside joke a little bit, is that I asked her to go to church with me and she couldn't say no. And that was the beginning of so far 22 years and two wonderful kids. And we have kept them in the faith, and I think as my daughter's now entering her third year of college, I'm very proud of her, where she stayed stronger in her faith and connected, and so wonderful. I'm very proud of those kids that and hopefully we've been a good influence, and it makes it easier, you know, when you don't have a family that's split religions and things like that. But yeah. Brenda's a wonderful mother and devotes a lot and has kept us. And I'll give her credit for even making sure and keeping me on the right track as well with the faith journey.
Well, the other little humor that I found in that is that you said that you were both involved with marathons, and you said that you were chasing her, and I thought, well, literally, he was running after her in the marathon. She was faster than him, I guess. There's an interesting trip that you took in the early 1990s that I'm curious to hear more about. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I think I was searching for something to do good in my life. You know, I was pretty busy with work and things were going pretty well, but I felt something was missing, and I had some vacation time. I said, you know, what can I do? I want to do some good in the world. And I think whatever it was drew me to, I can't remember how I found out about it. I think something came in the mail, and it was a kind of a mission group that was bringing hospital supplies to an area of the former Soviet Union. That was a time where the Soviet Union had just collapsed, and there was a lot of issues going on, especially some of these Baltic states and things that were part of the Soviet Union. And when it broke apart, there was a huge need there. So a group of us got together, collected medical supplies in huge boxes, and flew over there with the intent, you know, and we stayed with some host families, but we brought medical supplies to the hospitals over there. And that was one of those early on experiences too, when you go into a different part of the world that I'd never seen and probably didn't spend the time wanting to see. But when you walk through a different country in different hospitals and you see the state that they were in, it brought you back to you'd certainly realize the need that was out there and the appreciation of what we had. So it was a good experience to do some good in the world. And it was in Latvia and Estonia were the two countries. And, so speaking on the faith side, you know, when we landed there, the families that we stayed with picked us up. And I really didn't know what I was getting into. It was all set up, and I could have had anything. Well, the first place, literally before we even went to where their home was, is they brought me to a church. And how special is that? And it was because it was around holiday time, and there was a choir singing. It was Christmas time of the year, and I didn't think I was going to experience that, especially with my perception of what the Soviet Union was. And this is probably a celebration where they maybe not have been able to celebrate as much as they would have in the past. But that was a great experience to walk into a church in that situation and be able to know that I was with a family of faith, thousands of miles away, in a different world.
No doubt. Wow. Very nice. Very nice. I need to do a quick piece of housekeeping. You heard me say this name before, folks. Hopefully you heard last week's interview with Steve Javy, who was a referee in the NBA for 25 years, but in his retirement from the game, now has been a deacon in the Catholic Church for 2 years. In the middle of that episode, I mentioned that someone had recently donated to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, but I was waiting to hear back with whether or not I had the green light to say that person's name on the air. Indeed, I was given the thumbs up, and so I want to publicly acknowledge and again thank Richie Adubato, the guest from episode 122 of this show, a longtime head coach and assistant coach in the NBA, now retired. I'm truly grateful for his kindness and generosity in making that contribution. If you've just come to this show for the first time, thank you. And when you hear me mentioning someone sending me a donation, it's because this is a ministry for for me, but I don't get any income from doing this, and I don't have any sponsors, which means that all the expenses have to come out of my pocket. There are actually quite a number of costs that I face in running Catholic Sports Radio, a lot of which I've given examples of over numerous episodes of this show. So your contribution truly does help me when it comes to figure out how I'm going to pay whatever is the latest bill that I get hit with. So if what I'm doing is making an impact, if you believe in this ministry, you like Catholic Sports Radio and feel it's helping your faith life, you believe in the mission and think it's a good resource to help others in their faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution. I have sometimes referred to it as a form of tithing and can tell you that there are two ways that you can bless this show with financial assistance. You can do it securely online through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast and easy to do that way, and you can contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from when you utilize that Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. Alternatively, as some folks have done, including this latest example, Richie Adubato, you can instead send in a check through the mail. Just go to the contact section of the website to send an email to ask for the address to send it to, and I will personally email you back with the address for where you can mail your check. Your contribution will greatly help me with the expenses that I'm referring to that come with operating the Catholic Sports Radio ministry. As with Richie Adubato and others that you've heard me mention, I will happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Mike, in the first half of this episode, we heard about your parents getting divorced when you were in sixth grade, as well as you falling off from your faith and then re-engaging with the church post-college. What did you take away from all of that when it came time to step into what have been some really significant leadership roles in the sports business world?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think, you know, business and faith often are separated. And I think that the challenge as Christians sometimes, and it is, and for maybe for me, is that comfort of bringing my faith into work. And I think there's a wall up sometimes. And so I like to think that I bring my faith in the way I act, in how I treat people and things like that. But I haven't overtly brought faith right into my office, if you will. More as I got older, I think as I got more comfortable, because I see the importance and the value of that, but it really probably manifests itself more in how I try to treat myself, and it literally in maybe some of the goals I put forward for an organization, like let's say for the Fiesta Bowl right now. In business, we all have goals, and we focus on tasks, and success sometimes is defined as are we meeting goals and whatnot? But the goals that I put forward for our organization lie in issues of how do we treat people with integrity? How do we support each other? Are we enhancing people's lives? You know, dignity. Those types of things are the core of the goals that I bring forward in my organization now. Of course, we have those tasks that still have to get done, but I think by basing our day-to-day expectations in treating people well and treating people with dignity and actions over words and positive actions, I think that's been the important part that I've tried to push forward.
Well, and it sounds to me like when you first started giving that answer, the first thing I thought of is preach the gospel, use words if necessary. So you're just leading by example, and people are seeing what is it about Mike and the way that he carries himself that makes him who he is and a good example to follow and a leader that I want to work for. So hats off to you, because you're right. You know, you don't have to walk through the office carrying a Bible and quoting scripture passages to everybody whose desk you walk by. They're going to tell that you're a Christian. You know, the old song, they will know that we are Christians by our love.
Yeah, you never know if you are making that difference, you know, if you're not being overtly about it. But I will say some of the special time, you know, there's been a couple of specific times, but when a former employee circled back to me at one point and said, you know, I want to thank you for the way you treated me and the way that you were and the organ, you know, and basically they said, you know, when I come across items, I think back and I say, what would Mike do in this situation?
Wow.
And then when I heard that, that was probably the most powerful thing that I've ever heard, that it, that wow, maybe, you know, doing what I do is making an impact, and again, actions louder than words. And but that was something that was when you feel that you're maybe making a difference. And so I would say, you know, I might not be carrying the Bible, but I hope that my actions are helping.
No doubt. No doubt. I mentioned back in the intro that you even did some refereeing. There's a story from that experience as an on-court official to your high school coach.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's an interesting one that came full circle even years around. You know, again, you know, even in high school, I was, you know, probably still capable of not being the model kid. And I think this particular basketball coach, you know, he probably didn't think that I was on the right path. I mean, I was not a, you know, get into trouble all the time type of kid, but I was still probably struggling with my youth. And again, even to the divorced single parents and things, and trying to raise myself almost at times. But I had a basketball coach that, again, he wasn't super fond of me. And I think he and this is where the good influence came in. He was a leader in the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletics. And he took a direction to me and really asked me to start joining him in prayer outside of school. Now, this was a public school at the time, so it's interesting. Wow. I'm not even sure if you could get away with that at this time, but I ultimately agreed to come with him or to join one of his meetings. And that was, you know, and I probably did it in protest. You know, I think back, you know, I was not a great rule follower, but I probably did it because I wanted to play more basketball. And I probably thought I had to do it if I was going to play for him, you know. So maybe my reasons weren't all great at the time. But again, God speaks in different ways. But going to that, having that experience there, and then being around people that were of faith, I think that was another click that made that impression that years later helped me grow and become closer and closer. And I think the story of that were. And I think even when we parted, as far as I graduated and he moved out, he probably never thought that I would amount to much. I probably was still on his list of a semi-troubled kid. And there was some years later, I was reffing basketball at the time, and I was going up and down the court, and I had this guy kept chirping at me and up and down the court. And you know, several times into it, I finally turned around, which you're not really supposed to do, and to address and go, well, who is this guy that keeps chirping at me?
Chirping at you from the bench or from the crowd?
No, I'm sorry. From the audience. From the audience. He just had this is my coach who happened to be at this game. He happened to recognize me, and he was just being kind of a smart aleck and was you know, making something to sharp. And I turned on. It was him, and I ultimately got to talk to him afterwards, and it was a nice conversation. And we didn't get too deep into it, but the later full story of that. Because again, I think he probably was probably worried about me, and maybe rightfully so at the time. Now, years back down in Phoenix here, where I'm, you know, president of an NHL hockey team, I get a call out of the blue from Coach Eddie, and he says, do you mind if I stop by and see you? And it was a pleasant surprise, but he came up, and it was another one of those moments where, you know, he was probably a little bit of a father figure at some time that I probably mostly rejected at the time knowing him. But I think it was special. Maybe it was special for me knowing that I made him feel good, that maybe he made an influence on me, and maybe he wasn't visiting me in jail. He wasn't visiting me as a president of an NHL, and I was doing okay. And not necessarily the, you know, okay, you're president of a team, but it was more of, in the conversation that we had, it was more about what type of person I had become, or I was trying to become, or trying to be. That was more of the conversation, and I think he felt good about that, and I felt good about that. So that was an interesting twist of probably a guy that I probably didn't even like back when I was in high school, you know, because of that. But was able to circle back and have a good relationship with him later.
Very nice. Very nice. You are currently involved with something called the Positive Coaching Alliance. What can you share with us about that?
Yeah, I serve on several boards, but I try to keep it limited because I want to be able to give, you know, fully of what I get involved with. The Positive Coaching Alliance is, you know, obviously it's centered around sports, and really it's about developing winners in sports and in life. Mm. You know, it was brought to my attention here as I was a leader in the sports industry in Phoenix. They were opening a chapter here, and they came to us leaders in sports and wanted us to be a part of this. And my first response was, I don't want to get involved in something that's a trophy for everybody. And, you know, but that is not what this is at all. It's really about developing better people, you know, through athletics, mm-hmm. making better athletes, better people. And so it's not a faith-based group, but I think the power of using sports to develop character and having character. And a lot of that is based in obviously religion is a strong base for treating people well and doing the right things. And I think I'm able to fill the gap sometimes of, yes, faith does fit into sports, and treating people better and treating sports with that attitude of you know, transforming youth. But it's also about even the coaches and parents. You know, how are you interacting, and how do you treat your child? How do you treat and interact with coaches and stuff? So it's really a full circle, making all coaches, athletes, and parents support each other and be using sports to develop youth.
I like it. I like it. Well, bear with me, both Mike and the audience. I want to close by reading off a list of some great achievements that I did not mention in the intro. And stick with me. This will lead to my final question. During Mike's time with the NHL's Phoenix Coyotes and Jobbing.com Arena, he led the organization to record-breaking sales and operating successes that earned the organization national recognition in the annual ESPN rankings as the sixth best franchise among all professional sports. In 2012, he was named Sports Business Leader of the Year for demonstrating outstanding business, academic, and visionary leadership through effective management of his organization. And most recently, he was named one of Phoenix Business Journal's most admired leaders for 2018. Mike, my question is, and this might help some listeners out there with the 9-to-5 work that they do each day, what have you found that helps you stay grounded, helps you stay, a popular Catholic word, helps you stay humble as you win these types of honors? Because I think the lessons can help both with whatever any of us are doing work-wise as well as sports-wise.
Yeah, well, the faith, I think, is a big part of keeping you humble. And I will also add my spouse and Brenda in that, and keeping me and us grounded in faith is a big part of it. And as I've matured throughout the years and focused on success a little bit differently, I think when I was younger, and I think I talked about this a little bit before, where success was focused on tasks and winning and financial and things like that, I'm really trying to focus more of my life more on what's the significance, or what's the purpose of life? How am I impacting others? And I tell you, all those successes, I'm proud of some of the things that you noted there, but that is all done through other people. And that is the one thing that I think, again, I learned more and more as time goes on, that it's about relationships and people. And you don't get anywhere without treating people well. And my successes have come because of the people around me. It's not because of what Mike Neely solely has done and can do. When you allow God, first of all, and others around you, and you try to lift everybody up, that's what brings on your successes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well said, and a great way to end. Mike, it's been so great having you on the show. God bless you, and thank you for coming on Catholic Sports Radio.
Bruce, it was my pleasure, and thank you.
And folks, since we heard Mike talk about having a couple children of his own, and I made a couple references in this episode to listeners who potentially are parents, we haven't done this one in a while, so let's have our closing prayer for this episode be a prayer for parents, and do it, of course, together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family, and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love. Within the embrace of their team, may Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H. At Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.